This week on Full Credit to the Boys, we review round 11 of the NRL. Queensland shocked the world with their State of Origin selections, and it might be a good time for Jarryd Hayne to start dreaming again. Welcome to Full Credit to the Boys. Well, hello, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, and welcome to Full Credit to the Boys. You can find us on Twitter at FCTTB_podcast. I am former legend at former_legend. Sitting across from me on Skype is Normie Dorrell at Normie Dorrell. And Indy's splendid wood chopping shirt is at Sid Punts. At Sid Punts.
Do you like this shirt?
Yes.
Boys, let's start off. I'm going to start off with a pretty mellow subject, if you don't mind, for the week. The importance of encouraging young players in sport, boys. I think we can all appreciate the importance of that.
Yeah.
Not so sure.
Tell me why you're not so sure before we go on.
Doesn't experience count for everything in big moments?
Well, no, but you've got to encourage young players to become experienced, surely. With that in mind, I think the sporting gentlemen of the NRL this week, the Tigers, ensured that the Knights weren't embarrassed and humiliated. The young Knights, the pups. And unlike last week, where the opponents, the Sharks, who went out of their way to make a team full of young and up-and-coming kids look foolish in front of their friends and family and then diminished the youth in their team. And really, I'm proud of the Tigers. I'm proud of the job they did without going out of the way to belittle a team and reduce most of them to tears like another team did. And then, Sid, let me ask you, did you see that pile of shit merchandise that the Sharks printed out?
Oh, what about that?
I've got one question, boys, in all sincerity. Is that a team without much historical success?
Over to you, Normie.
AMCO Cup, mate. 1979, one of the great victories.
Yeah. And did you, how many copies of that Shark Attack memorabilia did you buy?
Yeah, I must say, I don't really have a pool room to put them in, but yeah, I'm not one for footy memorabilia, got to be honest.
Which is a lucky thing, being a Sharks fan.
Jesus. Well, mate, that's probably a good idea to follow the Sharks.
That's where it comes from.
The New South Wales and actually the Queensland Origin teams have both been named. Although it's only a likely New South Wales team at the moment, I'll just go through them quickly. Fullback, it seems, will be Moyland. Dugan will be on one wing. Mansour will be on the other. The centres will be Ferguson and Jennings. Maloney from the Sharks will be your 5'8". Reynolds from the Bunnies will be your half. Gallen is captain at front row. Farah is the hooker. Woods is the other front rower. Cordner and Jackson will be back rowers and will spend a lot of time on the field, I'd imagine. Greg Bird will be your lock. And then you've got the bench of Fifita, Clemmer, Tamau, all great selections, and Dylan Walker.
Yeah, well, I'm glad Laurie Daly listened to about podcast 6 of Full Credit to the Boys, because he's taken my exact halves combination of Maloney and Reynolds, and that's about where his correct decisions end, I'm afraid. I have no idea what Dugan's doing in the team to begin with, but they're also then playing him out of position on the wing. Yeah, yeah. Blake Ferguson, when in form, is a great centre. He's terribly out of form and can't even find any resemblance to even be picked in the first grade side for the Roosters, let alone State of Origin. And then Gallen, I think Gallen should have just come out and made himself unavailable for Origin. I mean, he was non-existent against the Sea Eagles on the weekend. And this guy, when's he going to put his club before his state? He's just going to lead another losing Blues team, bring that back to the poor old Sharks and derail our whole season like he does every year.
Well, you blokes go better without him anyway, statistically, so maybe it's a good thing he's out there playing. Normie, can I just say, going through the list, there's more Cronulla Sharks than any other team. Can we say straight away that if we lose this State of Origin series, it's a Cronulla Sharks fault?
Well, I sort of hate the fact that, did I mention the Sharks are on top? I hate the fact that it's this early in the season, because every year it happens, it derails us. And I pretty much blame State of Origin for the fact we haven't won anything since 1979, the AMCO Cup, just mentioning that yet again.
What minute of the podcast do you think we mentioned the kid? Just
Nah, I'm going clean, just like Sydney on the cigarettes.
Yep.
But lads, I want to say the difference between the Queensland teams and the New South Wales teams. The Queensland teams, Wayne Bennett leads the chorus, State of Origin hurts us so badly. We're the only team in all of Brisbane, but it really hurts us. We've got all the best players, but it really hurts us. The difference is, Wayne,
we play your every team... Friday. We play every Friday night, but it really hurts us. 7-day turnaround every week, it really hurts us.
Well, the big difference is they go back to their clubs as a winning State of Origin team. All of that energy they put into the big campaign that is three games of Origin, at least they've got something to prove for it. The Sharks and the rest of the Sydney teams come back losers, complete waste of time, niggling injuries, and where are you meant to go with your season from there?
Yeah, that's a fair point. Can I just say my favourite quote from this week, or favourite headline, was from the NRL website. Blues squad gets Gallen tick of approval. Well, wow. Knock me down with a feather. What a surprise.
That was like your scoop today on Twitter.
Well, what do you lads make of the side? I mean, yeah, it's great to see some young players like Moylan in there. And I know Walker's copping a bit of stick, but when he's in form, he's arguably the best centre in the game. What do you guys?
Well, I agree with you. We dealt with this a few weeks ago with the Australian team getting picked. You have to pick on form, and you can't pick players out of position. So we were talking about it up at the pub. We've been at the pub all afternoon, former and I. And
thanks for the invite, yet again.
Josh Dugan, if he's not going to play in position, he shouldn't be there at all. And we're sitting at the pub, and blokes, it was all around the pub, everyone arguing over these selections. And I said to former, do you reckon up in pubs in Queensland they're having this argument? Every year we bitch and moan about it, but nothing ever gets done. Why are we picking blokes that are out of form and out of position? It's ridiculous.
Well, Sydney, you're both Tigers fans, and what do you make of Robbie Farah being in the team?
Well, that's an interesting one, actually.
Well, we've got four hookers to choose from, so you may as well pick one of them. Yeah,
it won't affect our West Tigers performances, picking him in Origin.
He's barely won a game wearing Tigers colours this year. I mean, he took six rounds to come back, played a couple of games, then he gets knocked out and he hasn't played again. So how's he in the side?
I agree. I think it should be picked on form, but Michael it never
Ennis,
is.
Michael Ennis should be there.
Yeah, I agree. But again, another Shark. How are Wade Graham and Jack Bird not in that team? But again, leave Sharks alone.
Jack Bird's very stiff if you look at Walker being picked, you've got to be honest.
Yep. I think we'll discuss that selection further in the show.
Yeah. Of course, as we know, the Queensland team was also picked. It was actually picked around Christmas time last year, which was handy. Don't we really need to run through it too much, do we?
When was that emerging Origin Maroons camp? When was that? That ruled out about the six best players in the competition.
I don't know, but I wish I'd go on another one, and a big bender as well. All right, we'll hit the news, boys, and go. NRL Round 11, and it began on Thursday night. The Rabbitohs beat the Dragons 34-24 at Renovators Delight in the very first Wes Patton plate, boys. And I tell you something now, you've dropped balls a year ago, then this was the game for you, where the outcome was decided by which team wanted to lose it less as compared to which team wanted to win it more. I thought it was a low game. What did you think?
I'm trying to turn this podcast into a positive after the Blues team announcement, but it's hard to find them in this game. It was a dour old clash, wasn't it? It's let's be honest, the Dragons are tough to watch, really tough to watch.
Yeah, I agree.
Yep.
I think the 2016 Dragons highlight tape will pretty much be a 25-second repeating GIF file on Twitter. Mm. Yeah, they are a boring team to watch.
The most impressive part of this whole game was listening to Rabs pronounce Widop's name. Widop.
Widop.
Yep.
Widop.
George and Tom Burgess, you're talking about people who are dropping balls. They should have had as much ball handling skills as a lesbian nightclub. They spilt more ball than I've seen two blokes with the same surname spill since probably the Durrell brothers played in... Group 97, third grade reserves. Yeah, they were very ordinary. Thank God for baby John Burgess and in some way Sam Burgess. They are keeping that family name alive.
Well, Sid, here's one for you, mate. Did you know that 58 points were scored in that game?
I did know that.
Well, that is a hell of a lot of points. And to sit here on the other side of it and say, geez, it was a boring game. There was no attack. 58 points. How often do you say that about a game? There's no attack.
Yeah,
that's true.
There wasn't many sparkling tries in all of that. Tim Laffoy, the other talking point of this game, Tim Laffoy scored a length of the field try after your man, Kirisam Ovar. He was more worried about helping Nightingale up off the ground than tackling. And
oh, that was terrible, wasn't it?
Watch Laffoy run the length of the field to score. What did you think of that, Normie?
He was the slowest moving botanical man I've ever seen. How much strapping did that guy have on him?
He was up and down in the last 20 minutes. He was up and down on the one spot, and he was bobbing like a cork.
You know what? I'm not a fan of those quick restarts where the other team's not ready.
I love them. I
want to see more of
Sydney. I know, so I'm in the minority there, but I don't like it at all.
Here's the thing for me. Different refs, different rules. Sometimes they go, no, back on the mark, back on the mark. Yeah. But some refs just blow them through. What's going on with that?
It depends on whether Cameron Smith wants a quick tap or not.
Friday night, the Cowboys got home. They were down 18 points to 6 at one stage, and they fell over the line with a field goal to beat the Friday night Broncos at Toothless Stadium, 19 points to 18. And, boys, you talk about great players. JT rose to the top once again. He kicked a clutch field goal while he was injured, while his heir apparent, Tony Milford, missed the biggest sitter since two white blokes tried to high-five each other in the NBA.
I absolutely love this game. If only JT was one of us. This is one of the greatest men in Australian sport. And you've got to remember how far he's come. He had his problems at the Bulldogs, but now you just look at him. Not only is he the best player by a country mile, kicks the winning field goal, gets up, runs back, plays for the rest of the game, and then after the game, you see him kissing his little girl. He's with his wife. He's talking to the cameras. He's the greatest role model you could ever have, and what an ambassador for rugby league to call their own. So just a fantastic, fantastic man.
What if JT was one of us?
And never has it been more apparent that there should be two divisions in the NRL. There's the good teams and then the rubbish teams, much like the Premier League in England, like the Knights and the Warriors. Just get them in the lower division, I think.
Yeah, it would be a boring comp with four teams, though, wouldn't it?
You could watch that every week, I reckon.
I couldn't. My team would be in the other one.
Well, we're talking about blokes that really shone that night. Kyle Felt played half the game with hands like cymbals, just dead set dropping everything, and might have cost himself an Origin spot in the wash up of that, all that.
Yeah, Origin does funny things to the players, doesn't it? You can tell it's in the back of their mind. Even the most experienced players, it's like they're all trying a little too hard. Every game had strange moments. I know we're going to touch on the Penrith Titans game, but that especially with a lot of young upstarts in it, that game was all over the shop.
That was another problem that Wayne Bennett has said, that it's not fair that the Broncos, the week before Origin, have their mind on other things. First world problems up there.
I'll tell you something.
Tough being the Broncos, isn't it?
Yeah, remarkably, they're never worried about the salary cap. That's unbelievable anyway. Saturday, in one of what could go down in history as one of the Tigers' worst ever wins.
Yep.
Let's be honest.
Yep.
They overcame the Knights at Methlab Stadium, winning 20-12. And, I mean, the Knights got on the board. The first time they scored points in 211 minutes. Other than that, I don't know what else to say about this game. It was a shocker. The Tigers tried to run around them instead of just running through them.
Yeah. I picked this last week. I said this would be a spectacle. It was horrible. I'm not even happy that we won. You said last week that whoever wins should get 2 points deducted. I agree. This was absolutely horrible.
Well, Sid, what do you think about the idea I'm floated this week? Start a second division. Get these two teams. They can lead it up.
I think they're the prime contenders to be in the bottom
league. And then every year, whoever wins the grand final in second division can come up to first grade.
So what you're proposing is a bottom league of just clean teams, and then the top echelon, the teams you're talking about, are either drug cheats or cheating the salary cap. Is that what you're suggesting?
All the Cronulla Sharks, correct.
Yeah. The next game, the Warriors lost to Ricky's Raiders at Yarrow Stadium, 38-12. And I don't know who wrote this, but much like former legends Love Life, the Warriors constantly promise a lot but deliver little. They are a genuine disappointment every year. And it's got to the point where I don't know why I'm surprised, but it again surprises me. This year I looked at who they signed and thought, here we go. These blokes are going to shine. They're worse than ever.
They're ordinary. But the biggest highlight out of all of this is Ricky's Raiders put 38 points on the Warriors, get home easy, and he still has a cry in the post-presser saying that the NRL's at fault making his team travel this far. Did you see him?
Yeah.
No, I didn't see that.
No, I don't watch him anymore, mate. Ever since he gave us that flat performance for the Dragons when me and Sid were invited into the rooms, we've got nothing since then. Did you also see Isaac Luke do the haka to the crowd at full time?
Yeah, and then he broke down in tears as well.
It's bizarre. That was bizarre, that I got to be honest. I thought the haka was something you did at the beginning to frighten your opponents, not to send the crowd home disappointed. I mean, jeez.
You reckon maybe put some of that energy into a burst from out of dummy half or something?
Yeah, well... Yeah,
something. Give us something.
Coach McFadden came out after the game and said that there were players in his team just not lining up and putting their body on the line. And then I just heard an interview with their captain, Ryan Hoffman, who's as honest as the day is long, who has said exactly the same thing, that there's four or five blokes, he didn't name them, but said they just shouldn't be in first grade if that's the attitude they're bringing to the table. Really interesting times there.
Well, the big thing for me, Former, and the major difference between McFadden and the Scarecrow is the Scarecrow's never been given a clean slate. He's never been given the charge, the lead. He's never been given the players he wants. Robbie Farah is still running the side, yet they're winning the odd game. The other end of the stick, McFadden has complete control, complete backing, has recruited the best players in the game, and he's not winning at all, yet he remains in a job unchallenged.
I'm glad you say this, because we were having this discussion
at the pub
in between playing Queen of the Nile and...
What's the new one? Spring Carnival.
The Spring Carnival machine.
That's not new. Spring Carnival's older than the Melbourne Cup.
Yeah.
I tried to tell Sid that, yeah. But I tell you what, pays like nothing else.
WW anyway, Spin Big, mate. Three of them.
We're a little off topic here, but this is exactly what I was saying. It gets reported all the time at the Tigers that the camp's not happy and the coach has got to go under Potter. And again this year, the coach isn't doing his job. The Warriors, is that the captain coming out today saying that? Is he the captain?
Yeah, Ryan Hoffman.
He comes out and says, there's blokes there that shouldn't even be in first grade. But whose fault is this? Like, there's always speculation about the Tigers. He's bought this team, they're a team of champions, and they're absolute duds. What do you do about it?
Yeah, well, get them on the Steel Knocks and Red Bulls a bit more, I think.
Yeah, that might be a bit of an issue.
Sack them blokes. I'd be getting them blokes back on board and doubling their doses. next game on Saturday, the Sharks overcame the Seagulls at Southern Cross Bogentat Stadium. They took 75 minutes, basically, to beat the Seagulls, and... talking about lackluster games, this would dead set put a glass eye to sleep.
Well, there are a couple of things here. I mean, the Sharks got out to an early 12-0 lead and were looking really, really good. And then halftime came, they let a try in on the buzzer. They disappeared, as you said, Foreman, for the next half an hour. And I was like, oh, God, here we go again. Manly is going to pip the Sharks. But they did enough. They held on. They won. A few players didn't turn up for mine, and I know I spoke to you about my frustration during the week, Former. The Sharks are a bit of a grubby side, I'll admit that, and Maloney has those tendencies. Unfortunately, going to the Sharks, yes, he's playing good footy with that back line, but it has brought out that dirty part of his play, and no great players in history for mine have been grubs, so I want to see him wipe that out because he gave away a couple of terrible penalties, almost lost us the game.
What did you say after you watched it that weekend? What did you say after that?
Yeah, I wasn't listening either.
Sunday, boys. Fair thing, let's move on.
I said we're on top of the table. I don't have it. Sorry.
I mean, we just found something more boring than the actual game. Panthers lost to the Titans at the foot of the mountains, 28-24.
Foot of the mountains.
I tell you something. Here's something to think about. How good would a team like the Warriors be if they had a dig the way the Titans do?
Yeah, it's a really, really good point. And I spoke about the name of the Origin team curse. My God, that affected the Panthers. Peaches single-handedly cost me a perfect round. The Panthers are in front of the sticks. It's all tied up at 24 all. Just give Moylan the ball so he can drop a field goal. No, he drops it. What are you taught in under sixes? You drop on the loose ball. He stands there and watches it. They pick it up, the Titans, run the length of the field and score the winning try. Disappointing.
Well, speaking of disappointing, what about Will Zillman gifting DWZ a try with a dead set numbnut of all numbnut plays? He's kept the ball in from going over the sideline. The only person within Cooey was DWZ. He goes over and scores.
But what are you meant to do, Former? I mean, they kick a 40-20, and if you're the fullback, you're blamed. Have a dig.
I'll tell you what. How many points do you get for 40-20?
Yeah, I don't know if that is the point, though. I mean, you're trained and you're told to keep the ball in at all costs. He flings it back, and is it his winger's fault for not being in support?
Oh, I don't know about that. That was just a dumb play. And I mean, you're a winger. I suppose you're sticking up for him. The good thing to come out of this too, Pete scored in his first game for the Titans, which was good to see. On the bad side of it, the Hiku injury was just horrendous.
Oh, God. Why would you bring that up?
Well, I brought up the Sharks game. I might as well bring that up.
Oh, that was just as hard to watch, I tell you. Oh, that was horrendous, that injury.
The other game that day, the Bulldogs beat the Roosters 32-20 at Renovators Delight Stadium. The Roosters now need to win 10 from 13 to make the semis. They face the Storm, the Sharks and the Broncos all twice. I've said it once, I'll say it before, Normie. It's Christmas time. They are shot.
Yeah, it's all over. And you spoke about dropped ball in the earlier game, but this here, there was so much drop ball from the Roosters. They were in this for most of it. And how Rabs and Fittler was almost as biased as I am towards the Sharks when it comes to the Roosters. They were doing everything in their power to will them over the line, but no, the Bulldogs did enough in the end.
Probably the only good news to come out of this game, Normie, it was something I've seen in the Sunday papers, and that has there's never been a better time to get a good price on Bali Holidays for that interseason trip. And I'm not sure, the only thing stopping them was probably, I don't know whether you can take dogs on as hand luggage, otherwise I reckon those boys will be there first week of September.
Well, I know you serve them for lunch when you get off the plane in Bali. I don't know if that'll come into play.
Jeez, what Mitchell does with their food over there. Monday night, the Eels went down to the Storm, 18 points to 6 at Rubbercheck Stadium in the that's not a salary cap scandal, this is a salary cap scandal shield. That's a big shield, just to fit that on it. Kieran Foran made his return, but it was wrecked by pretty much a clinical Storm side. Although on the offside for Kieran, once they finished, he got up to the tab in time to get a couple of bets on at Santa Anita Park in the US.
Yeah, look, I've been rubbish in the Storm all year, but I have to say this is one of their more polished performances. Their back line was looking slick. They're professional. They keep moving forward. They've got the big boppers, bit of class out wide. Do you rate these guys at all when it comes to crunch at the end of the season?
Well, they're going to struggle now that their coach is about to get sacked, according to you. That's going to be a big loss for them. On the flip side, Parramatta need now to win 11 from 12.
Oh, here we go. Parramatta, this is how many they got to win. I'm sick of this.
They're about as much chance as I've got with Miranda Kerr of knocking those stats over. They're gone as well.
Yeah, I don't know how much the headlines are helping them during the week as well. I mean, do these players have brains that are playing for the Eels? What are they doing?
They're not helping themselves at all, are they?
We'll hit that in a minute, but just quickly, a question without notice. How many teams can we now rule out of semi-final out of the semi-final count?
It's funny you mention it, Former, because I reckon this is the most separated competition we've had in over a decade. There's just a bunch of teams that are absolute rubbish, and there's almost this cream that is getting so far away from the rest of the competition, at least 6 to 7 teams already.
Yeah, I'm loath to say it, but I think the Knights are gone, obviously. The Tigers.
Tigers will be right.
Kicks me in the guts.
We'll be right.
Roosters are gone. Para are gone. Warriors are gone. That's five down.
Yeah, I would definitely agree with that.
Compared to this time last year, we were still talking about teams being alive with 3 or 4 rounds to go. There was a bunch of teams.
Yeah, it's a major difference, and I wonder how much the 10 interchange rule has been a part of this. Just bigger scores, teams being blown off the park, losing confidence and not being there the week after week. I wonder if that's got something to do with it. Testing depth a bit more maybe. It's putting more injuries on key players, all these things.
No. Other NRL news. Foran was in good spirits, it was reported, as he returned to training, although a story emerged in the Telegraph from Rebecca Wilson, $75,000 in bets he's had from after his immediate release from some clinic in Queensland, placed from Foran's tab account on Greyhound races and in South Africa. Oh, just astonishing. What was your first thought when that story broke?
Bloody disappointing. I mean, I held Foran in high regard, and when all those stories came out, you said, well, give him a break, everybody. This guy needs some time. He's going through a really tough period in his life. But this story here, it's almost like I think I've taken the guy all wrong. What the hell's he doing?
My first thought was, how is anyone allowed to know what goes through your tab account?
Thank you, Sid. I'm glad you've seen the writing on the wall.
I agree with you, Normie, but...
whose bloody business is that?
What about kicking a bloke while he's down? It's not nobody's business what he does with his cash.
Your silence is deafening, Normie, I've got to be honest.
75,000 on races in South Africa? What's wrong with the bloke?
Should have seen
like
me.
That says to me a guy who everyone else in the pub's gone home and he's still looking. All the races of Adapto have stopped. Where can I get on? Where can I get on?
Not everyone had gone home. I was still there.
You're a bloke that doesn't double up on the free spins. That's all I can say. Meanwhile, in Parramatta land, Corey Norman is, as they say, assisting police with their inquiries after pills were found on him at Star City. I've heard today that they were muscle relaxants and we shouldn't all jump to too many conclusions. Although that was pretty dusty Twitter rumours at the time. Normie, what have you got to say about this? Tell everyone about the time you were caught at Star City with some pills.
Do you want me to start with the dinner he had before that with the biker gang, or would you like me to concentrate on
It's just a whole bag of wrong, isn't it?
Well,
pills.
Or a little plastic container of wrong, whatever the case may be.
You've got a feel for Brad Arthur here. I mean, what are these players doing? This guy's in the middle of contract negotiations. His team's in absolute dire straits. He is the leader. He is one of the most senior players. He's probably the informed player of the team. What the hell is going on?
He was probably tying up some third-party agreements, I'd imagine, by the looks of those.
Look, he was probably trying to get onto the race in South Africa in the sports bar at Star City that Foran told him about.
Did you see Brad Arthur was coaching the State Cup team?
Winnie Magpies.
Yeah, because the State Cup coach went sick this week. That club is on the up and up, Parramatta. Like they're just doing everything right at the moment.
Oh, fair dinkum.
Probably the last story in the NRL this week of any note was Will Hopewadi's last-ditch bid to keep the Blues spot by playing New South Wales Cup on Friday night because he can't play on Sunday. Normie, what did you think of this?
Yeah, look, it's also the reason I've told Laurie Daly I'm unavailable for State of Origin for religious reasons. I can't play on Wednesday nights, which I won't go into, boys. But I just love the fact that rugby league writes the stories for us. We don't even have to dig for these little anecdotes. Just come. There's too many to fit in one podcast every single week.
Every week.
I asked Sid this earlier today while we're at the pub. I'm going to ask you, is Hopewadi not being able to play on Sundays, does that also exclude him from ordering a Sunday from McDonald's?
How did that go down at the pubs, didn't he?
Yeah, no good.
All right, the big story of the week, of course, is the AFL. The Sydney Swans beat reigning champs, the Hawks, by 14 points.
Wasn't this a good game?
Oh, but then to top that, GWS beat early title favourites, the Western Bulldogs, and now have won 6 on the trot. Normie, are these exciting times or what?
You know, I did 4 shits today at work. 4! And the toilet door is right near the hottest girl at work. So every time I came out of there, I had to do this whole, what am I doing? Oh, it's so embarrassing.
Normie, is it too early to dream about an all Sydney grand final?
Last week, I played nice and you had a couple of AFL stories and I tried to contribute. And I thought, right, I'll just play to their game. They'll leave me alone. They won't mention AFL anymore. I don't have anything.
Can I put it to you that rugby league fans' interest in AFL is exactly opposite to how well their own team is going in rugby league. And therefore, right now, me and Sid, we love a good kick around.
There's a lot of people out there now enjoying this.
Kicking it between the sticks with some tight pants on. It's got my imagination. Sid, hit this. Sorry. We cross now straight to our Jack Sock correspondent at Sid Punt. Sid, what have you got?
Well, this week, it's been a great week for the Sock. He's playing in the French Open. Won the first round in five sets, a tight tussle, but it was great to see him get out on top. He's into the second round, and we wish him all the best.
You lost me at Jack Sock had a tussle.
A tight tussle.
A tight tussle, yeah.
Is there anything better than a tight tussle?
With a sock. You can tell I didn't have my notes in front of me. I kind of winged that one. Wung it.
He Craig winged it. Other news this week, Jarryd Hayne made his debut for the Fiji Sevens. And to be honest, didn't set the world on fire. He's played 5 minutes in about four games. He now goes into a talent camp where they'll pick the Olympic team. And there's pretty much a feeling that it's unlikely that he's going to make the Rio
squad. Do you have this on any kind of authority?
No, I don't. And I'm reading in between the lines here. But I will say their coach, the red-headed white kid from Scotland, he doesn't seem overly fussed by Hayne's presence. And something tells me there's been a deal cut and he's been excluded from any talk. Mm. However, I don't like Jarryd's chances.
I sort of get the feeling that the coach is not liking the publicity mainly. He's got the world's best team. They were doing just fine. All of a sudden, the players are worried about their positions. People are coming out in there asking questions. Why is this player not in there? Why is this player in there? And Hayne is copping a lot of stick, but he didn't get that much game time. He got 2 minutes in one game, and the highlights were Hayne didn't play that well, and it's another player throwing an intercept. I don't even know what that had to do with Jarryd Hayne. So,
well, that's why I think he's no chance, mate. Reading between the lines, the one thing that officials and everything else can't control is what happens during a game. The fact that he's gave him 2 minutes, 1 minute, and 30 seconds in three different games speaks volumes.
I'll see what you mean. Well, I just think we're not talking about the Aussies and how poorly they played. We're not talking about Quade Cooper.
Were the Aussies in the same? Were they in that competition?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, Quade Cooper's not, but yeah, the Aussies were. The Honey Badger was.
He's a moron. What are these stupid Australian analogies? I'm going to add him in to grab a mirror. I hate that bloke. What's wrong with him? Has he got a brain injury, that bloke?
Ray Warren's going to be filthy if you kick him. boys, I want to get to the next story here, and I'm just going to throw a name at you. I want you to tell me whether it means anything to you. What does the name Alan Ashcroft mean to you?
Was he in MASH?
No.
I know an Arthur Ashe.
I saw this on the running sheet. I've got no idea where you're going with this.
Well, let me tell you, this bloke may be in line for, in the annual full credit of the awards at the end of the year, he might be Man of the Year, right up there. I'll tell you something now. Old Shagger Ashcroft is a spitting image of the manager of the recent fairy tale story, Leicester.
I saw this.
And his their manager, Claudio Ranieri. Now, Ashcroft is a dead set spitter for him. Turns out since Leicester has won the Premier League, old Uncle Al has been dining out, as the case may be, if you know what I'm saying, on his doppelganger's success and has bedded 24 women. Normie, that is the same number as you have bedded. No, that's the same number you've had a look at on Pornhub. What about that? Is he Man of the Year so far?
No, because the fact he's 70 years old and the women he'd be picking up would be of a similar age. I'm going to leave that to Alan.
I don't see your point, if I'm honest. 70-year-old, anyway.
Praise Alan, I reckon.
He's got two votes from me and Sid.
Well, his last name's Ashcroft for a reason, mate. He'll soon be Ashes.
The last story of the week, and I think this is one of most interest. Muirfield Golf Club in England has been taken off the rotation of clubs hosting the British Open after they had a vote during the week on whether they should allow women to be members at the club, and it was defeated. And so, henceforth, they will no longer host a British Open. What do you think about that, Normie?
Well, I'm afraid we might have one of these same rules on this podcast because our only female listener, Sid's mum, has stormed off the listening to this podcast any longer. So I sort of feel like we need to do something about that.
Yeah, you're on her shit list. Sorry, mum. Said shit. She's filthy at you.
So what's our feelings on Muirfield Golf Club? Have they made the right steps or not?
Oh, no comment.
This sounds like a decision by a woman, if you ask me. This is a ridiculous decision.
I think this, fair enough, if women want to be part of Muirfield Golf Club, well, they can go there and we can go into Fernwood. legally. Not the way me and Normie have been going in there lately.
Yeah, well, Normie's not allowed either way.
All right, Jeopardy time, boys. All right, for those new to Full Credit Jeopardy, this is where I give the boys the answers and they give me the questions. Pretty much like the game of Jeopardy, although probably less entertaining. We stop on that. That's getting really
annoying.
Enough
of that. Yeah. I like this theme.
Yeah, it makes me want to whiz. Answer number one, boys, in Full Credit Jeopardy this week is the 2-minute shot clock. Normie, a 2-minute shot clock. What's the question?
The question is, former, to help rugby league players grasp the concept of how long they should cook 2-minute noodles for, the NRL now provides them with what?
Very nice. Sid, have you got anything for us? The answer is 2-minute shot clock. The question is,
what does the trophy cleaner at the Cronulla Sharks work under?
Oh. Sorry. You're on my shit list, mate.
The answer is a 2-minute shot clock. The question is, what have many of Normie's former lovers thought he was operating under? The answer was 2-minute shot clock, and we'll get to the reasons behind this later, but the question was, what do the Peru firing squads use? We'll get to that later.
Okay. Mysterious.
Answer number two, boys. 1,000,000 to 1. 1,000,000 to 1. Normie, what's the question?
The question is, former, what mathematical possibility are the Parramatta Eels now at making the semis?
pretty soft option, that one, Normie. Expect better from you. Sid, the answer is 1,000,000 to 1. The question is,
what are the chances of Normie beating his 2-minute shot clock in the bedroom?
The answer is 1,000,000 to 1. The question is, what chance is Jason Taylor to coach a winning premiership? The answer was 1,000,000 to 1. The actual question was, what odds are you of picking your winner punting in South Africa after midnight? And speaking of which, answer number three is betting on South African horse racing. Normie, what is the question?
The question was, I actually know what the question was for this one, former. It dates all the way back to 2002. Read something like this. When Hansi Cronje's plane crashed into a mountain, his last words were, "Put a gorilla on number 8 when betting on South African horse racing pride."
That was on the black box recorder, I believe.
Rachel?
Sid, the answer is bet on South African horses. What is the question?
As well as Bryn Edelston, what should you also not do after midnight?
The answer is bet on South African horse racing. The actual question was, What's the ideal way to finish off a day of pokies, beers, Randwick races, Winnie dogs, Scotch, port, and Winnie blues?
Very true.
Answer number four, boys, and this I'll be very interested in seeing how a couple of blokes answer this one. The answer is Cronulla Sharks memorabilia. Normie, what's the question?
The question is, what's harder to find than Harold Holt's corpse?
Sid, the answer is Cronulla Sharks memorabilia. What's the question?
What is worth less than a Jarryd Hayne 49ers jersey on eBay?
The Cronulla Sharks memorabilia. The question is, for a new player entering sports memorabilia collecting, what is a cheap, small, niche market to begin with? All right, boys, and this one will be my favourite, I'm sure. The answer is Jack Sock. Normie, what's the question?
The question is, what does former underscore legend keep under his pillow next to his 2 minute shot clock?
Nice.
That's actually a Jack Hankey, but anyway. Sid, the answer is Jack Sock. What's the question?
Who should replace Nick Kyrgios on the Australian Olympic tennis team?
Oh, hear, hear.
Yeah.
The answer is Jack Sock. The question was actually, boys, who is the more obvious choice for New South Wales bench other than Dylan Walker? And that was full credit Jeopardy. But boys, as we roll out of one segment, we roll into another, and here's everyone's favourite.
We all want you to go grab a mirror.
Alright, grab a mirror time, and Sid, I think that you want to hit the ground running with your first grab a mirror. Who have you got this week?
Grab a mirror, Bill Shorten.
Repeat offender, man boobs.
No, seriously, does this man even own a mirror? Which one of your advisors let you go out of the house in your running gear? You should not be wearing skins in public, especially when your sole job is to make the public like you. Sales in skins have dropped 420% overnight. Way to go ruining another great Australian company. Put on a sports bra and some shorts before you go out next time.
Do you think, which one of his advisors said, Bill, go for a run looking like a sex pest?
I know, right?
I'll take a crack next up, and it's taken a long time this year. I thought I'd get to this bloke before now, but grab a mirror, Buzz Rothfield. Old red cheeks himself. In his Monday morning page of just genuine old man dribble in the Daily Telegraph, he clearly shows he's lifting material from our bloody show, boys.
You're joking.
If this were Andrew Webster, Paul Kent, or our very own Jimmy Hooper, I probably wouldn't mind as much. But bloody Buzz Rothfield, give me a spell. In his column, he did a piece on the Warriors where, what did he call them, boys? The Warriors.
Get out.
And then, at the end of the column, he encourages Andrew McFadden to grab a mirror.
No.
No.
Mate, I feel crook in the guts knowing that we're helping old Red Cheeks out. He is a blight on the game. You would never, ever follow the same club that he goes for because you just feel dirty, surely. And anyone who eats at King Juan, don't sit near his table because I think they're doing stuff to his food out back before they bring it out the front.
And what about him jumping on the Sharkies bandwagon all of a sudden? What about that? Rubbish.
He'll be the first bloke off it too. He falls off it like an old drunk. Normie, who should grab a mirror this week?
Well, Sydney's given it to Shorten. I'm going to hand it, and I'm going to square off the ledger, actually, and say, Malcolm Turnbull, grab a mirror. How can a guy who can't even pronounce the word with be catching you? Shorten says with. He actually says whiff. I mean, how can this guy be mowing you down? And the other,
to be fair, Turnbull, but to be fair, that increases his popularity out west.
That is giving whiff. Free swimming lessons. He's killing it.
Oh, Turnbull is his big, bright, shining light. He kicks out Abbott. Great. We all hated that guy. We love you. You're your own man. You've achieved a lot. You've come from nothing. You've built it up to an empire.
He's come from nothing.
Nothing. You can lead us forward into the future, this great country that is Australia. Yes, we know you're a bit of a toff. Yes, we know you've got a bit of a slight lisp on some of your words from living in the eastern suburbs too long. My main problem is, you're weak. You've let the conservative guys tell you what to say. You've kept all of Tony Abbott's policies. You're doing what you have to do to keep your party happy. Be your own man, mate. Grab a mirror, have a look, and fire up. And you know the problem is now, lads, I don't even know who I'm going to vote for. I actually have to think about this election. Is it whiff?
Party.
Or is it whiff, or is it bloody turncoat right. Turnbull?
Boys, we sent out a few tweets asking for the listeners' advice on Grab a Mirror. We got some absolute pearls of gold, or whatever the pearls are made out of.
Shite. Pearls of shite, these
pearls
are.
Of pearl. The first one's from at Michael D40, and he wrote, Laurie Daly for saying he picked Walker and not Bob Fulton. I mean, seriously, I'm hearing you there. And then Michael D40 followed that up with, Laurie Daly again for saying Walker gets picked on form. Fair dinkum.
Who tweeted that?
At Michael D40.
I think Michael D might have just stolen a bit of my thunder. Anyway.
At Brett Patterson, he wrote, Bo Scott for being in such bad form he can't actually get picked in the New South Wales team. Hashtag disgraceful non-selection. Fair point.
Yep.
Normie Stalker at ThunderTown80. And he just tweeted the Sharks memorabilia that we touched on earlier. An absolute disgrace. Have a look at yourselves in the mirror, Sharks. Pete Holland, he tweeted Corey Norman because he needs a mirror. I don't know what that's all about.
Not sure what anyway, that means. You
know. Sid, while we're warm, why don't you have a crack?
Well, whoever that bloke was that tweeted,
Michael D40.
Michael D40, thanks for stealing my thunder. Because Laurie Daly, grab a mirror. And when you grab this mirror and you look into it, whose face do you see peeking over your shoulder? Bozo Fulton. Picking Dylan Walker for New South Wales has some people thinking that Bozo has had some influence on Laurie's decision making. But today, Laurie was having none of it. He cleared it all up, clear as day today, when speaking to the media, when he said,
"This is good.
I think the only reason it came as a surprise is because no one mentioned him. For me, that was a surprise. No one was mentioning him because he shouldn't have been picked. The only person mentioning him was Bozo Fulton. Grab a mirror, Laurie.
His brother, Maxie, was more of a chance to make the Origin team than... Yes, welcome back. Yeah, that surprised me.
Snappy Sarzi wrote, Rebecca Wilson will just cause. I mean, I guess we're talking, going back to the foreign headlines, but let's just put a standing grab a mirror for Rebecca Wilson for the rest of the year and cut to the chase there. And at Joe Davola 76, one of my favourite tweeters, he wrote, Brookvale should go and grab a mirror because they call a refurbishment when they renew their urinal cakes and they still charge you $40 to sit on their hill. So fair point, Joe.
Who invented urinal soaps? What was going on in their life? Where did they go, you know what, I found my calling, urinal soaps. That's going to be my mark on the world.
What about the prankster who called them urinal cakes? I mean, yeah. How many blokes has he sucked in with that little joke? Oh, yep. You want a bit of cake?
I once had a mate. I went off to order myself a schnitzel and chips and I was drinking a pint of Guinness at the time. Little did I know he had dropped a urinal cake into my pint of the black stuff. Got to the end of it. They say Guinness gives you a bad hangover. You try adding a urinal cake to it.
I could tell you about the time a certain first grader went to the toilet and we changed two of his girlfriend's phone numbers around on his phone, but we'll get to that story another day.
Nice.
That's a beauty. I don't know what it's got to do with urinal cakes, but I like it. That's brilliant.
Boys, I just want to get a little bit serious here. I know Grab a Mirror is a bit of a joke around and that, but this one gives me no great pleasure, I've got to be honest. But it's time to grab a mirror at Sid Punts.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I'm on this.
Yeah.
Mate, it's been a bit of a mixed bag for you recently. I mean, you quit the Bungers, which turned you into an instant arsehole. He doesn't return texts anymore, Normie, have you noticed?
He's yeah, what's going on with that, Sydney?
I just find it boring.
Short replies, and lately you started getting a bit ahead of yourself because the boys up the pub tonight told me that they were telling him that he has a radio show and sometimes he gets former legend to come on. And then, even though you are on the 19th best NRL podcast on iTunes,
yeah,
it's up or down, you know, sometimes we're 18, sometimes we're 23rd. And the only regular gig you have is this bloody gig.
Yeah.
You're heading off to South America in a couple of days' time. Is that right?
That is true. I make my living is none of your concern.
I mean, I don't know why you're going over there, but it sounds like a real good time. But I'll tell you something now, Normie. What are the odds that we're going to see Sid next on Locked Up Abroad?
Well, the fact that in Grab a Mirror, Sid has actually packed a mirror.
And I'll tell you something now. If anyone from Customs is listening, check that boogie board at Arrivals, boys, because fair dinkum, that's 100% certainty.
There's good surf in Peru. That's why I need it.
And you know how you reckon that animals love you?
Go on.
They're sniffer dogs, Sid.
They always come and sit next to me.
They don't like you.
Oh, right.
Well, the thing I've always wanted to know is sniffer dogs. What happens when they sniff another dog's asshole?
Well, they don't sit, that's for sure. One last thing on this grab and mirror, Normie, before you derail it completely. While Sid Punts is away, he's asked me, in a matter of seriousness, can we not bag him while he's gone?
That's not a direct quote.
Is that a G up?
Talk about a million to one. That should have been a million to one in Jeopardy.
Sid, did you honestly ask us to go easy on you?
My exact words were, I'm expecting a pasting. I'd be disappointed if you let me off easy.
One final
grab. I haven't even left yet and you're bagging me.
One final grab a mirror from the floor was from at GLD299, a long-time listener. And he wrote, grab a mirror, any AFL player who's thinking of hooking up with a new Indigenous boss's daughter. We'll just leave that there. Normie, final shot and grab a mirror for this week.
Oh, grab a mirror, the moron who keeps signing off on these backburns in Sydney. Isn't the whole point you do backburns so people in the city don't choke to death on smoke? The fact we are choking to death on the smoke from your fucking backburns.
Oh, he's leaves dropping a little the F-bomb bit- again.
I've actually enjoyed it, to be honest, this week.
He's used less patches this week.
It's been going well.
Oh, my God. Yes, Sid, you and your Winnie Blue mates are loving it. I can't breathe. What is the go with the backburns? How come every morning we wake up it's like there's a bushfire? Isn't that what they're trying to prevent?
Can you spot the man that lives on the North Shore? Yeah. That's the North Shore. Pull your head out of your Kirribilli arse, mate. There's people over this side of the bridge that are living in the bushland. We need to get rid of that dangerous stuff before the summer rolls around. Not that you'd know, living next to your pier and your boats and Luna Park and your wharf and your bloody shithole big Prime Minister's house, you giant turd.
The only time you go to the western suburbs is you Skype your way in there. Doesn't count.
And even then your iPad refuses half the time.
Sid, oh, it's all true.
I'm glad we've turned that around to bag him.
Alright, round 11 preview. A very short round 11, boys. One game for each day. And we start off on Friday night. And the Friday night Broncos take on the might of the West, the West Tigers, in the Lottie Takiri Shield at the Urinal Stadium. A couple of things to come out of this game. Teddy Blair makes his debut as captain. I mean, what could go wrong there, Normie? There's a bloke with a level head you want leading your team around the park.
Well, he'll be the only player left with a head on his shoulders after he's finished with his stiff arms. Oh, but I feel for Wayne Bennett. I almost shed a tear thinking about him. How's the poor bloke going to field the team?
Well, I just all know, these... I mean, all jokes aside, this is probably one of the only weeks he doesn't spend with Darius, and we know how well they travel together.
I'm surprised Darius agrees to play for Queensland without Wayne sitting in the box.
I think you'll find he's a roommate with him. The other part of this is that the Tigers are without Woods and Farrah. I mean, the heart and the soul are out of the side. The Broncos, I know they got anyone missing? Maybe one, maybe two, I'm not sure.
Yeah, there might be a couple. A
couple of fringe players. Who do you like, Normie?
Yeah, it's going to be the Bronx. The Tigers are unbackable even at full strength against an understrength Broncos. I'm really looking forward to seeing what sort of depth they do have up in Brisbane. Some of these young players I've heard a lot about, haven't seen them play. This will be a good game.
This will be a good game. And the Tigers, this is number two in our four-game winning streak that's coming up. You heard it here first.
Well, you'll be overseas, so you'll be that off your chops you won't even know.
I'll be watching this in Peru.
Saturday, I'm going to take the Tigers with my fingers crossed. Saturday, the Dragons take on the Cowboys in the Dean Skifferlickaby Shield.
Once more for us,
yeah, who was that?
Dean Skifferletti. Sorry, I got three cracking stories about Dean Skifferletti, but if we ever do a show live, I'll tell you live because I don't think Dean wants him out in the public. They're playing this game at Dapto Dog Showground. That should be a real highlight. I think in between tries, they're going to send the bunny to the boxes. The Dragons are decimated by Origin with 80% of their team missing in Josh Dugan. And I can't see them beating a decimated Cowboys side. I'm going to take the Cowboys.
Yeah, look, I think the Cowboys will slay the Dragons, even missing some of their best players. When's Benji back? Is he back yet?
Yeah, apparently this weekend.
Oh, if Benji's back, I'm going for the Cowboys.
I thought that might be coming.
Sunday, and the Bulldogs travel down to Canberra to play the Raiders in the Bradley Clyde Cup at Geelong Cold Stadium. I don't know what to say about this. We know Ricky's going to have the sad sacks on. We know Dez is going to say nothing that's going to make anything sort of in sense. I'm going to back the Bulldogs. No, I'm going to back the Raiders. Raiders are specials in this, actually.
Gee, you sound pretty certain about that.
No, I've seen two big ins. I can't remember who they were as we're coming on air, but they are certainties.
Well, you feel for Desmond Hasler. If there's one Sunday he's ever needed Hopewadi to pull his finger out of his dad's own derriere and play, it's got to be this game. They're missing Morris, State of Origin. They need him in the team.
Morris will be back.
Of course.
Because he'll be 19th man or 18th man or something. So
you reckon? You don't see him starting?
So? Yeah, no, they'll release him back. That's the mail.
Interesting. It's the Raiders for me.
Yeah.
They're specials. Monday night. The Knights versus the Eels in the Tamana Tahu Trophy at Marathon Sex Stadium. Surely the Eels, surely, right?
Stranger things have happened, former.
I mean, the biggest story to come into this is, where's Foran going to get a punt on after the game? I mean, what runs on a Monday night?
Well, he's travelling to Dapto for the Dragons-Cowboys game, isn't he?
He likes the sound of that. Surely the Eels, right?
Yeah, the Eels, I think.
You know what? I've ridden Eels here, but for the sake of it, come on, you good things. Go the Knights.
Yeah, very fickle, mate. You've been bagging them for the last 6 weeks now. You're jumping on board right at the last moment. Well, boys, that's about it for that round. Let's hit some newspaper headlines.
This is Brian Henderson.
I'm Alan Jones.
I'm Vivian Chin.
This is Kent Brockman.
I'm Ron Burgundy.
The stories that will hit the headlines tomorrow.
All right, boys, let's predict a headline each for the coming the coming week, I suppose. Sid, do you want our first crack?
Yes, I think the headline will be Dylan Walker in Man of the Match performance in Origin 1.
I wouldn't like your chances.
No, you think so?
No. Normie, what about you? What do you got there?
Well, this will be on the back page of The Australian, actually, because that's the only paper we get out here on the North Shore. None of that Telegraph Westy rubbish. And
I actually get, because I have a subscription, so this has actually already landed on my doorstep, and the back page reads, let me open the paper. Corey Norman spills the pill and looks a deal while Eel's still on nil.
Well, that's going to be tough to boot, isn't it? Oh,
that's tough.
Mate, the Australian is full of alliteration.
There'll be one L in pill. There'll be... well, mine comes from the Daily Telegraph because I am a Westie and I'm proud of it. And mine just says, Jared Haynes set to quit rugby sevens and chase his boyhood dream of being a bull rider. We all know that's he's been his boyhood dream. We've spoken about it many times.
Full credit to the boys.
Ray Warren here, long-time listener of the Full Credit to the Boys podcast, first time endorser. If you love going 65 minutes on the fly, listen to former passes to Sydney, Sydney passes it back to former, who throws a cut-out pass normally, then why not hit the subscribe button? That's it. Big hit on the subscription button. It has been dead set smashed in an Origin special. God bless you. And please, do what Karen Fyron would do. Gamble responsibly.
Full credit to the boys.
Twitter challenge, boys.
Tweet me. Tweet me, my friend. Tweet me. Tweet me again.
All right, boys. And for anyone that doesn't know, this is the Twitter challenge where we've all given each other a celebrity to get a retweet and a follow from. Late breaking news, just in case you weren't aware, Normie. Warwick Capper and me got in a bit of a conversation via Twitter, but in all of that, no retweet, no follow was. So despite that was just as we were finishing recording last week. So for that in mind, I have Warwick Capper to try and get a retweet and a follow. Normie has the great Russell Crowe. And Sid has sometime rugby league player, sometime rugby union player, sometime boxer, and apparently bull rider, Sonny Bill Williams. Norman, you want to go first?
I don't know if you lads heard the news, but Russell Crowe has a new flame in his life.
Really? No. Who is it?
Terry Irwin.
Well, really?
Really?
The Crocodile Hunter's wife, his ex-wife. This is a true story. This has been confirmed. So I tweeted Russell.
This will go well.
Hi at Russell Crowe. I didn't know you were into reptiles. Now.
Are you blocked yet?
Now, I did tweet that because I knew it would get me blocked, but I wanted to share that. That's what I wanted to tweet. What I actually did tweet is I noticed that all these big popular people on Twitter, Taylor Swift, Katy Perry, Pink. What they do is they always retweet the fans who write to them and say, I get picked on. I'm fat. I hate my body. All right? So I've sort of gone along that line here, Russell Crowe. Hi, at Russell Crowe. A big bully by the name of at Shaywom. He does listen to this podcast because he rips into me about my tweets all the time. He says my tweets to you aren't of a first grade standard. Please RT so the joke's on him.
Clever.
And how's that travelled?
Absolutely nothing, but I did get one reply. At Shaywom writes, Russ. That's it.
What did he reply?
He just wrote one word, rubbish.
Sid, we'll move on to you. You've got Sonny Bill, the great Sonny Bill.
Yes, yep, and it's going extremely well. There is more chance of Dylan Walker being man of the match in Origin 1 than me getting a retweet or a favourite from Sonny Bill. But I had a stab this week. I had the week off last week, but I gave it a go. And this week I said, hey bro, at Sonny B. Williams, this hit was nearly as good as my shot on Junior Paulo at Oatley Park last week, and I put footage of him annihilating some Russian rugby player.
Oh mate, he poleaxed that bloke, didn't he? Big hit.
Yeah.
I had seven favourites and two retweets, nothing from Sonny Bill.
Again?
Yeah, again.
All right, well, I've got the great Warwick Capper, as we all know, and I'm just trying to find this silly tweet. Here it is. I wrote, "Hi at Warwick Capper 39. With Jared Hayne making a late bid for Rio, why don't you and I team up for a spot in beach volleyball? Hashtag mullet brothers." And just for your information there, Normie, 30 likes, 6 retweets, and duck egg from old Woz yet again. So the hunt continues, as it were.
I think I slung you a retweet for that one. I could just imagine Walker with the Speedos on tucked into his derriere in the cheeks intentionally and sand all over his buttocks.
That's what you were thinking about?
Well, judging from the pictures Former puts in our group messages,
true.
You want to know where I get those images from?
I don't know
my
what
God.
You're talking about. I don't know what stiffy pictures you think I'm sending you. All right, weekly full credit to the Boys Awards. So this is where we give some amateur some love on Twitter. And Norman, do you want to have a first crack? Who are you going to give a big shout-out to?
Well, this is to at Aussie Jag, and he's actually put a bit of wind in my sails, lads. He's tweeted me, "Hey, at Normie Dorrell, ever thought of putting together an album like the at 12th Man HQ featuring Rabs, Gus and Vossi? Hashtag would be great." And I wrote back, no, at Aussie Jag. I've never given this much thought apart from every single day. Only problem is I can only do Rabs and I don't really have anything else.
Well, I got a private tweet from a bloke by the name of Coley. I haven't got it on me right now. A message, whatever they call those things. And he actually said how much he enjoys your Rabs impersonations as well. And so do many of the police on the Gold Coast. So take that how you want. I think I've opened more questions than I've answered by letting you in on that one. Sid, what have you got?
I also have at Aussie Jag.
Ooh, I'll tell you something now.
Yeah. He's said, at Sid Punts on the FCTTB podcast last night, he's attached a picture of a guy completely covered in nicotine patches. He's put... hashtag stay strong. Hashtag you can beat the cigarette. So thank you, Aussie Jag, for your support.
I replied to that tweet with, "You're a quitter."
Well, dead set calling your Patch Adams off air last week. The only problem is he didn't have the same sense of humour as Robin Williams in that movie.
I was a little cranky last week. I'm a lot better now.
That's because Robin's dead. Now, that's two for Aussie Jag.
It is.
Boys, this has never only been done once before, has it?
Yeah, it has been done once before.
Well, you've just reminded me of when Robin Williams died. I shouldn't be laughing. Our moronic, obese boss comes sprinting into our studio in the middle of a show. We're live on air and he goes, stop. Robbie Williams is dead. Robbie Williams is dead. Tell everybody. So we've announced live to all of Newcastle, Robbie Williams is dead. We're copping abuse left, right, and centre. You morons, it's Robin Williams. And our big fat boss goes and eats another Big Mac and we cop the blame.
All right, way to destroy a moment there. But anyway, we've had one hat-trick getter, wasn't it?
Thundertown. Yes, Thundertown.
And he had all three favourites from all three boys. So far tonight, Normie, who did you go with?
At Aussie Jag.
Sid, who did you go with?
At Aussie Jag.
Drum roll, please. My weekly full credit to the boys award goes to at Chandler_bang.
he loves a build up.
Oh, sorry, Jag. Get a tissue. Get a jack sock. And he wrote, "Sharks fans, I ask all you join Finns to stand and applaud in the 50th minute to celebrate 50 years of sweet fuck all."
That is very good. And you know what? We should do that on the grand final when we're leading 50-0, you bastard.
All right, well, we've got the boy sack time, isn't it?
Roll the sack, open the sack, empty the sack. The boy
sack.
All right, boys, we'll start with the 5-star review we received this week. Just one, which is scarily close to none, if you hear what I'm saying. And it comes from someone by the name of S-M-O-M-O-F-O, Smomofo. I don't know what that means. But it says, it's a great sports-related podcast with a twist. Get this into your effkin ears if you're a sports talk surrounded by some gratuitous swearing. Now, this is what we've become known for ever since Normie started dropping the magic. Yep. And Sid, I believe I'm not the only one that thinks that.
My mum sent me a text during the week. She gave us a minus two star review.
Well, before we get to this, can I just let everybody in on it? Sid's mum's got the hots for me. All right. Now, is Mr. Sid still around?
But anyway,
Sid, is Mr. Sid still around? Does he know about your mum and me?
He is, but apparently he's on the outer.
Right. So she's got the hots for me. The reason she listens in is because of my soothing dulcet tones. Read the text.
Yeah, she said, not happy about those potty mouths on the podcast today. And why do you need patches? I used to like Normie, but he has blotted his copybook now. To which Normie, when I sent this over to Normie, he said, oh, your mum has the hots for me, does she? You missed the whole point, Normie. She doesn't like you anymore with your foul mouth.
Your little dirty gutter mouth.
Nothing like a schoolyard crush to spice things up.
And in typical mum fashion, you have blotted your copybook. I don't even know what that is. That's a mum thing. But it can't be good.
I think that's what most MILFs say to their blokes that they're porking.
I hope she's not listening this week.
Don't Google MILF, mum. Don't Google that.
Or blue waffle. Or bukkake.
Or docking.
Or docking. Do not Google docking.
Mum, don't listen to this podcast at all.
How can you say I've blotted my copybook? Form has blown all over his copybook.
You dropping F-bombs like a scene out of Eddie Murphy's Raw.
She's known Former for a long time now. She never liked Former.
She saw what I did one day on Campbelltown Oval, one of the Western Suburbs blokes. Guys, while we're on the track, can you please subscribe? It makes things easier for you. It makes things easier for us. So push subscribe on your iTunes. So that way you don't have to keep pushing download every Tuesday/Wednesday, depending on how Normie's going at work. Now, a little bit of a segment that seems to have gathered a bit of momentum, Sid.
Yes.
Is one called Dr. Former.
It was a smash hit last week.
And I believe not only have we got a second email, but we also have a little bit of a theme.
Well, because it's going gangbusters, I thought it deserved its own theme. So
can I just tell everyone, turn this up.
Yeah, I wrote this last night.
He's the one they call Dr. Former. He's the one that makes you all right. He's the one they call Dr. Former. He will give you advice.
Hey, he will give
Sid
you
Rowe.
Advice.
Sid Rowe. No, it's
Motley.
Motley.
Motley Crue.
Mm. All right, let's start off this little message, and this is from. Oh, I'll get to that. Dear Dr. Former, that's me.
Yep.
I really love my fiance, but my relationship with her family is the same way you love Buzz Rothfield, i.e., not much. In 2 weeks' time, my mates have planned a golf/punt/drink day. On that same day, it's Fiona's mother's birthday. Can you not say Fiona's name on air?
Oops.
Well, that's a bit awkward. I don't really want to go to her birthday. I would rather get on the piss with the boys. What should I do? Signed, Jim Mower. Please don't mention my name on air.
Oops. You should have read that first.
For anyone that's writing in, can you please write at the beginning if you don't want your name mentioned on air? Don't mention my name on air. All right, Normie, do you want to take this one off first? What should Jim do? I mean, old mate do.
Well, this just got awkward considering it's also an ad for Jim's lawn mowing services. Is that bloke going Jim's bins as well? Is it the same guy?
Jim's aerials, I think he's into.
Well, surely you combine the two. Don't you just invite the mates to the mother-in-law's birthday party?
Jeez, I don't know about that.
At the end of the day?
Would I invite...
If she's going to accept you, she has to accept your friends. Get them all in together for one big love-in.
Are we allowed to come to your mother-in-law's party?
That's different.
Me and Sid?
You're not allowed to come to my mum's party.
She's having her own party for you. Sid, you got any advice for Jim?
It's pretty simple advice from me. Go and play golf, have a punt and get on the drink and worry about it tomorrow. That's tomorrow Jim's problem. Get out there. Or whoever you are.
My, and then here we go. We're going to go serious again, boys. I really love my fiance.
Mm-hmm.
No, you don't. You don't know what love is. But my relationship with her family is the same way you love Buzz Rothfield. Well, I don't think so. But anyway, in 2 weeks' time, my mates have planned a golf punt drink day. On that same day, it's my fiance's wife, mother's birthday. Here's my tip to you. Dump Fiona. Find someone on the drink. Maybe someone at the golf course and someone who likes a punt. It might mean you have to turn gay with one of your mates, but you're going to be a lot happier in the long run.
That surprises me that you haven't just said knocker. Get her knocked. That's normally your answer.
If you can hook up with one of your mates, sure, the homosexuality mightn't be to your liking, but you've probably doubled your wardrobe and every now and then someone's going to buy you a meal.
So you're telling Jim to putt from the rough on his big golf day.
Follow through is what I'm saying. Follow through.
We encourage people to tweet us or personal message us. We've had a few today.
We have had to do a few. This.
We had one. We want you to tweet Dr. Former and we will help you, give you advice. But at Kenno's 1974.
Now there is a bloke who's clearly troubled.
When he tweets in, "Hey Former, my left nut is way bigger than my right. Is this normal? Help me please." First of all, we appreciate you listening, Kenos. But Dr. Former is not an actual doctor. Not sure how closely you're listening to the podcast.
I will say, but if it's a vagina problem, I'll have a look.
If you have testicular issues, Kenos, I don't know, but I'd be seeking advice, not from us, from a doctor.
That sounds like it could be a hernia. I'd dead set get that checked out.
Yeah, I wouldn't be listening to Dr. Normie either, can I? sent in another tweet.
Could be a tumour.
his other tweet suggested serious bowel issues, so please...
No, we weren't into that. We're not into that.
If symptoms persist, can I, please see your doctor and don't tweet the podcast.
If you've got a blockage, maybe you should follow my advice for Jim and find a boyfriend.
one of our best segments. I can see why this is getting the start.
Yep.
All right. Just before we go, next week's will be a very special podcast, I believe, boys.
Certainly will.
We have our first guest on. Sid won't be here, but he will be here. There's a mystery for
you. Yes.
That's a conundrum wrapped in wrapping paper or whatever you said last week. So on that, we'll leave it at that, eh?
And yeah.
I'm going to say goodbye on this shortened NRL round. Go the Tigers, Normie.
Yeah, no Sharks playing this week. Go the Tigers.
Yeah, go the Tigers.
Tiger Sharks. See you, boys. Good night.
Ta-da.
Let's go to the pub.
See ya. Playing games with my heart.